Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Mental health in the Black community is so stigmatized. People are more afraid of being labeled crazy than actually living with a mental illness. Like, it's so ironic that people will read every single self-help book there is instead of just going to therapy. Mental health is real, people, and we all have problems. So why not be the best version of you? And if that includes therapy, what's the worst that could happen? Hey everyone, it's Kiwasha Naomi, aka Therapist KP. I just want to thank you for joining me once again. As always, I appreciate you taking the time to listen to me. Today we're going to talk about a somewhat serious topic. Well, not really someone, it's very serious, but it's one that we all have heard about or one that we know someone who has gone through. It is postpartum depression. And I have a very special guest with me today, attorney. You know, because she, you know, she doing big things and whatnot. Attorney Jamila Young. Jamila, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I appreciate that. Is there anything you want to say before we jump right in and introduce yourself a little bit?
I want to say thank you for having me today and thank you for talking about this topic because it's really important. And I love, you know, reaching out to people and telling them about my journey and what I went through because it needs to be more transparent, more out there, especially in the African-American community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Jamila is a friend of mine, and she has a beautiful little boy. That's my little pumpkin right there, even though he be sometime-ish with me.
He does.
Like he kind of, he whip me sometimes, and sometimes he's just like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to talk to you right now.
Nothing.
But, you know, that's a one-year-old for you. but I remember while you were pregnant, you were going through quite a bit of things, and it was really interesting. And afterwards, then your postpartum depression kind of kicked in. And I remember you reached out to me quite often, and we kind of talked about it. But, you know, I'm just going to give you the opportunity to just kind of tell your story of kind of when it started. You know, was it immediate for you or what's going on? So I'm just going to let you have the floor there and we'll go from there. How about that?
Yeah. So I'll rewind a bit. My son was born December 2016 and I didn't realize I had postpartum depression first, but during my pregnancy, I actually had antepartum depression. And I'm not sure if I talked to you about that or even told you about
that. You did. You mentioned it before. But for our listeners, what is antepartum depression?
So a lot of people don't know about it at all. But you can have depression while pregnant. I realized that something was wrong probably June, July 2016, while I was pregnant. I would cry on and off. I'll be very sad. Sometimes I'll be a little bit angry. I would just be up and down. Also, at that time, I was trying to study for another bar exam, which was a lot of pressure as well.
Absolutely.
And I had a lot of other personal issues going on in the background that contributed to that. So during that time, I wanted to take the bar exam in July before my son was born. But with everything going on, I postponed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I postponed it into February of 2017. I didn't speak to my doctor about that. I reached out to some people and just told them, I'm not feeling okay. I'm sad. I'm up. Mm-hmm. I'm down. And they were like, just pray about it or you're going to be fine. You know, things are just happening. You're pregnant. There you go. So I just went along with it, tried to Google it a little bit, but I didn't find much. So I just kept forging forward. So fast forward, I had my son December 6, 2016, and he was so cute. He came out, he was huge, and I looked at him, and he didn't have a wrinkle or anything, and he looked like a grown man to me.
He was a big baby. He was.
So it was an emergency C-section. I had been in labor for 24 hours. They were trying to pump me with Pitocin. I wouldn't dilate. My temperature was all the way up, and his blood pressure was all the way up. So that's why we had to have the emergency C-section. I saw him briefly. They took him away, and that night is when I finally got to see him. I had him that afternoon. So we were in the hospital for about 5 days. My milk hadn't come in yet, so the first thought in my head was, wow, I'm inadequate. I don't have any milk for my baby. Mm-hmm. So I felt really bad about that. I didn't see him a lot because he was in and out, coming in. They were still monitoring him because he was born a little bit early. We finally went home, and we took him, put him on the counter, and just stared at him. My child's father and I, we stared at him, and we're like, we're really home. They gave us this baby. Okay, let's do this. So it was exciting and scary at the same time. Well, about 2 weeks in, or actually about a week in, Trey got a horrible diaper rash. Horrible, horrible. And it was from the antibiotics he had to take in the hospital. And it just made me flip out. I was so sad. I was crying. And my train of thought went to, Trey has this bad diaper rash, and he has it because he had to take antibiotics, and he had to do that because I had to have an emergency C-section, and he had to do that because I didn't dilate, and I didn't dilate because I wasn't woman enough to have him naturally. Mm-hmm. So I blamed this whole diaper rash on me and traced it all the way back. And I remember calling the doctor, and we took him in, and they were like, you know, he'll be fine. Just do this. So it was a normal diaper rash. But for me, I just blew it out of proportion. Mm-hmm. 2-3 weeks after I had him, I started studying for the Florida bar exam. So if you haven't taken a bar exam, most people take it immediately after law school, study about 12 hours a day, and they are fixated on it because you have to be. You're studying over 20 subjects, memorizing them. It's not what you learn in law school. It's a lot of information. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to do that and take care of a newborn, mm-hmm. and learn how to be a mother. I don't think I slept. Sometimes I would be on the couch and I would look down at him and think to myself, did I eat today? Did I sleep? I just really didn't know. My child's father would be like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm doing everything great. I would cry sometimes when I would just look at him for no reason. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just crying because I'm happy. Probably wasn't it. So I would study and then try to take care of him and try to figure things out. At that time, my mom and Nana were supposed to come down and stay, but they couldn't because my Nana hurt her tailbone. Mm-hmm. So it was much just me. My child's father was working at nighttime, so he would come in and sleep mostly during the day. So it really was just me trying to figure these things out. I was looking at social media. Everybody was happy to be a mother. Everybody was doing great. Their kids were bouncing, beautiful. So I really didn't want to tell anybody that I was having issues because everybody's like, well, you're Jamila Young. You're going to be perfect at being a mother. You're perfect mm-hmm. at everything. And I'm like, yeah. So I didn't voice that. The first time I went for my checkup after I had Trey, a doctor asked, is everything okay? And I said, yeah, everything's great. I didn't tell them how I was feeling inside. I didn't tell anybody. Mm-hmm. Dismissed it. We went back for another checkup, still didn't say anything. So at the house, I still would cry a lot. I would be up, I would be down. I was almost in a haze, in a daze, just walking around, trying to figure out my daily steps, trying to figure out how to be a mother. So it would get so bad, I would just cry on and off. My child's father reached out, and he remembered that our doctor said, you know, if anything seems off, you know, just call this hotline. So they called the hotline, and I spoke with someone there, and they talked about baby blues, and they talked about if it takes a little bit longer, it might be postpartum. So I admitted that something was wrong. I went back to my doctor, and the first thing she said to me is everything okay? And I said, no. My response was, I started crying really hard, and I apologized. I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. And she's like, you don't have to apologize. Why are you apologizing? And I said, I'm so sorry. I'm not strong enough. I'm sorry that I'm not good enough. I'm sorry that he got a diaper rash. I'm sorry that I'm feeling this way. I'm supposed to be happy 100% of the time because I had this child and I love him. But I'm so sorry. I'm not strong enough. And I'm supposed to be a strong Black woman. That's what I said.
And that phrase is killing so many Black women, but that's a topic for another day.
It is. I can go on about that. So she came over to me and she gave me a hug, and I appreciated that. It wasn't fake. She came over and gave me a hug, and she said, you don't know how many times I hear that. And I was like, really? She said, yes. She was like, woman, come in the first time. And they're like, everything's fine. They'll say it again. And a lot of minorities, she said, that they come in and they will not admit something is wrong because they have to be strong for their families. So I talked to her about it. She said, you know, maybe you can get some therapy. Talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. But also medication is something that could happen. And I thought about it. And I knew from some of the thoughts that I had up and down, and they weren't thoughts of doing anything to my child, outlandish or anything to me. But I was just so sad. I was just sad. And if you ask me why I was sad, I couldn't even tell you why I was sad. Mm-hmm. It's the same way with depression. It is depression when you tell someone, I'm depressed. And they say, well, just think happy thoughts. You have a house. You have food. I'm not sad. Like, it's not sadness in that way.
It's hopelessness is what it is.
That is the perfect word. That's exactly what it felt like.
It is hopelessness, and you're not fully sure how to explain the hopelessness.
At all. I had no idea. And I know I reached out to you, and I was like, I don't know how I feel. I'm sorry. And I had this bad thing of just apologizing to everybody. And I don't know why, but I apologize to everybody. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. And everybody's like, why are you sorry? And I'm like, I'm just sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to feel this way. But I did. People would talk to me on Facebook or my text. I wish I was a great mother like you. Your child eats peas. Your child does this. Why? I wish. Oh, I just want to be you. And I'm like, you have no idea. Side note, social media is not, no one's going to go on there every day to post their bad stuff. I do not go on social media every day and post, ooh, today I got a really big pimple on my face, or today I didn't make a lot of money. But no one's going to post all that. People like to post and memorize those happy times that you have.
And we've talked about this before.
Yes. So that was really hard for me when people would come and say that. So I was like, well, I can't tell people my problems or my issues. So going back,
what was the thought process behind not being able to tell them? Because I do remember, you know, we are personal friends, but I do remember, you know, when you would say things to me, and I would always ask, but why?
Always ask me, but why?
But why? And you would always say, I just, and I'm like, but why? And I'm just like, I'm not judging you for it. I was just like, okay, so you told me. And then you would tell me.
I didn't want to feel
judged. Yeah, but you told me a part of it. And I was like, okay. And I was just like, what did you think was going to happen? And you're like, nothing.
I don't know.
Nothing happened. I was like, okay. All right, so let's continue this conversation. And I remember us going back and forth, but it was literally something that we had to do every time we spoke. Mm-hmm. And so now that you are no longer feeling this, can you think back to what was the thought process behind it?
Of
if there was a thought process of, okay, why was I afraid to tell people I know that cared about me, hey, this is what's happening?
Because I wanted to be seen as strong. My entire life, I remember in kindergarten, my teacher was like, you're just so perfect. And basically, my entire life has been, Jamila Young wins this award. Jamila Young gets this grade. Jamila Young wins all the running things. So in my head, anything less than perfection is not good. But I also understand that no one is perfect. That is a very odd thing to understand both.
It is actually very, very common.
But I wanted to make sure if people were looking up to me, people saying they were looking up to me and everything else, if I showed that I was weak, man, what would it do to people? What would people think? And, you know, I didn't want that perception. So instead I just kept it all inside, and I think I did tell very few people who didn't really understand depression. And they gave me the whole entire, you just had a new baby and you live in a nice house and everything's great. You don't have to work. Just be happy and focus on that. So I was like, okay, well, what's the point of telling anybody if this is what people think? Because that's not the issue. So I really didn't know. I was placed on medication. I took Zoloft.
Okay.
And I was so scared at first when they said, well, we're going to give you medication. I felt like a big old cloud came and lightning bolts. I was like, no, I'm taking medication. This is it. I'm crazy. That's what I thought. And I actually told my doctor that. Oh, my God, I'm crazy now. She's like, no, this is going to help regulate you. She's like, She explained, you have been pregnant for 9 months. Your hormones are still bouncing all over the place. You're a new person. You are not the old person you once were. Like, I'm not that person anymore. She's like, so sometimes you need assistance through medication. Zoloft was not immediate. It kicked in maybe in about 2 weeks after that. And I could tell a difference. I was still very tired because I had a newborn. And I was still very stressed out because I was studying for a bar exam. But I could tell there was a difference. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel so, as you said, I didn't feel that hopelessness kind of thing. I didn't feel that. I felt happy. I could feel like, you know, my son, he spit up milk. That's okay. Because prior to that, if he spit something up, oh, he spit it up because I ate something bad and my milk is horrible because I ate the wrong thing and I'm a bad mom. That was mm-hmm. always my train of thought. And I know that just sounds outlandish, but it really was. I've talked to a lot of my friends who have new kids. And I hear things like that. I can tell that they have antepartum or they have postpartum. And mm-hmm. I'm like, please just talk to your doctor. I was like, you're not alone. She's like, well, you know, one friend's, well, you didn't have this. Or another friend will be like, well, you didn't express that. And I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't. I was not transparent with you all. And I know a lot of women aren't because the way it's seen, women have been pregnant since the beginning of time. All these other women do it. So you should be able to as well. It's common. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a C-section, you have a baby. Oh, that's nothing. It's just a little surgery. A C-section is major surgery, people. I want everyone to know a C-section is major surgery. Okay? But that's the perception. So I just didn't want to be weak.
Okay.
That was really the crux of it. I didn't want to be weak and I wanted to be understood. And I wanted to be seen as this great mother who could do it all. And I realized that I couldn't do it all alone. And that's how I got where I was. But I'm not there anymore. I don't have postpartum depression anymore. Thankfully,
when do you
I don't.
Think it transitioned for you? So you were in this place for a while.
Yes.
You know, and how long would you say that you were dealing with your postpartum?
Well, I had my son in December. I started taking medication January. I would say well into the summer of 2017. I had a lot of other things that went on that caused that as well. I don't talk personally about my business out loud. I don't post it on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I don't do all of that. But during that time, my child's father and I, we split up. And that was a very stressful time for me. Mm-hmm. Extremely stressful. Have a newborn. And now I need to figure that out. I didn't pass the Florida bar that I was studying for. I actually failed by 1 point. I'm a licensed attorney, though, everybody. I took the bar years before that. So I am licensed in another state. But I wasn't shocked that I didn't pass that bar because I had a lot going on at that time. So it just all escalated. And at the same time, I was trying to learn how to be a mom, how mm-hmm. to breastfeed. Breastfeeding is really hard. Trying to learn how to sleep when my baby's asleep or learn how to just work around the clock while trying to pump and trying to take care of my son. So many things mounted on that. But I slowly started learning how to deal and slowly started learning how to breathe. And just with the support of my family and friends, and especially you, I got through that point where I could break free from the postpartum depression. But it was hard. It was really, really rough. I understand what postpartum depression, if you don't do anything about it, you could have it well on for a year or two, or it can continue if it's really bad and you do nothing about it. It's not something you want to ignore at all. And it's just really unfortunate, especially in minority communities, that we don't talk about mental health, period. But when it comes to postpartum depression, we really have nothing to say about it. I am glad that celebrities are coming out and saying stuff now. I'm glad, mm-hmm. like the Black-ish episode, they mentioned it. But it's bittersweet, and I know I talked to you about that yep. because I told people about it, And they're like, okay, whatever. But when the celebrities and everybody else says it, they're like, wow, look at this new big issue. We really need to stand up and do something. And I'm like, wait, I said that, but now it's valid because they said it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that the case with, you know, almost anything?
Yeah.
Like, you know, no one really talked about suicide a lot of times, you know, until unfortunately a celebrity committed suicide. And
That's true.
It was just like, oh, this is a thing.
This is a real thing.
You know, I remember, I can't remember if it was last year that it happened, when Robin Williams had committed suicide. And, you know, everybody was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, you know, he was just such a happy guy and he was this and he was that. And, you know, to kind of piggyback off of what you said earlier with regards to social media, people lie.
They do.
There's no way around it. I'm just like, you know, you want to be politically, you're just like, nah, there's no way. People lie. People lie and they make things because of what they believe that society wants, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm living my best life. That's the thing. It's just like you're living your best life on social media, you know, but you are dying on the inside, mm-hmm. you know, when you're crying. And I remember, you know, when, you know, I was pretty open in the first episode, I talked about my depression. I remember that I had posted a status and a picture of, you know, me in workout clothes.
I remember we talked about this.
I was in
it's
workout.
It's not funny, but it's
I was
like,
in
wow.
workout clothes. I posted this picture of me in workout clothes, and I was like, I just came back from the gym. You know, I'm glad that, you know, I'm losing weight now to tone up. But in all honesty, I was actually on the bathroom floor before that picture, and I was crying. And I literally had spritzed myself with water to make it look like sweat, right? And I was going through my depression. I had actually lost 65 pounds because of my depression. But if you saw the comments under that picture, ooh, girl, you look good.
Exactly.
But at the same time, you know, you talked about it going through that. You're mad at them. But it's not their fault.
No,
it's not their fault. They're only going off of what you're showing them. And you mentioned, you know, people would say, oh, you're so perfect. But that was what you were putting out there.
That's basically what I put out there. I only showed the happiness and the good times.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you think people would be surprised, you know, when this podcast, you know, is out and when we're releasing it, do you think there are going to be people that are going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened?
I think definitely there'll be some people who are surprised. I mean, there are a lot of people when I mean, my child's father and I, when we split up, they had no idea. Everyone thought I was still living in Florida.
Yeah.
But I was living in Georgia. I mean, some people still think I live in Florida. I don't live in Florida anymore, everybody. I also don't live in Albany. So I don't reveal a lot on there. But I know a lot of people will be surprised that I went through a lot of depression when I first had my child. Or that there were other things like that that were going on with me. Because I don't put that out there. If you look at my Instagram and Facebook, it's pretty much pictures of Trey dressed in nice outfits because my baby is always dressed to the nines.
Super dapper.
Or it's pictures of me smiling. Every now and then, though, I have started to be more transparent. Sometimes I'll post pictures and I'm like, this is what my child really is like, or, you know, this is really me. So there are times that I have put that out there, and I definitely want to start doing that more. I sat down the other day and thought about that and said, I want to be more transparent about what it's like for me being a mom, what it's like for me being a single mom, and what it's like for me running a business, just things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because people aren't transparent about anything. And I mean, I can't be mad at people or even just perplexed when people are like, oh, you're just this great person. I'm like, well, I was like, well, that's what my Instagram and Facebook says. It says,
that is
wow,
what it says.
It looks good.
So did you ever, so I know you mentioned, you talked about not talk therapy, that you were on Zoloft. So mm-hmm. you went to a psychiatrist, and a psychiatrist is a medical doctor, everyone, and they are the ones that prescribe medication. That is different. That's not who you go to for talk therapy. You go to a therapist or a master's level therapist, or you go to a psychologist, which is a doctor level therapist for talk therapy. And I know you said that you got Zoloft, so that means you went to a psychiatrist. Did you, during that period, did you do talk therapy?
When I got Zoloft, it first started through my doctor. She told me that, you know, this is something that we do prescribe. Then she told me I need to talk to someone as well. She first, actually, let me back up. She told me I needed to talk to somebody first.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, speak with a therapist just to see if that would help. But eventually, you know, I also needed medication. I kind of had to combine it because the medicine was there, but I just needed to talk to somebody. I needed just the release because talking to my friends and family, it's always good to talk to friends and family, but they're biased. They're either yes. going to agree with me, but like, yeah, girl, mm-hmm, yeah, I am. Because they're your friends, or they're going to be like, yeah, I don't understand. Just be happy. So I needed to go to somebody who was neutral to help me through that. And I did go to somebody. And
was it during that period, though, or did you wait?
In the very beginning, they made me talk to somebody.
Okay.
So then I had Zoloft. And then after that, I went and I started going to someone and talking to somebody. Because I just started crying all the time. I was just lost. I felt completely lost and alone, and that nobody else in the whole entire world was going through what I was going through.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew there had to be other people going through it because there were actual therapists and doctors out there who was specialized in that area. And even outside of that, I think everybody should go to some type of therapy at some point in time. We all need it.
Yes.
I mean, I vouch for that system. I love it. Just
but was it difficult for you? Because I know, like, you've mentioned quite a few times is that, you know, it's very hard for you to be transparent, you know, with others, even your friends and your loved ones. And you know that you needed therapy, but within the stigma of the Black community, just not even just only Black, but minority communities, they don't go to therapy. Mm-hmm. There's this whole idea of airing your dirty laundry, especially to this stranger who they don't know me or whatever the situation may be. So did you, and sometimes they, even though they feel like quote unquote, they're going crazy. If you put them on medication, it's easier to take a pill than to sit down in a room with someone and talk about that. Did you have a hard time for you personally talking about these vulnerabilities, about your perceived, because they weren't accurate. She's actually a really great mom. Your perceived inadequacies.
Yes and no. So there were points where in the very beginning was hard. Then after I started talking, I'm like, oh, this is great. And then I'm like, oh, I'm better now. And I will leave. Then I'm like, I'm not better.
Remember that.
But I don't want to go back right now. So I'm just going to get better. Then I need to go back.
Those.
So I have periods of, yeah, I need to go. No, I don't need to go anymore. Yeah, I do. Okay. Maybe I do. then it's like, okay, yeah, I need to go back. And it's just so great that you're there all the time. Because you'll ask me questions like, okay, well, look, Jamila. Or I have my brothers who are like, look, Jamila. So it's like they give me that push and everything else. And I guess it's hard at times because I don't want to be seen as weak. I just it's just not something I want to be seen as, but I know that's not weakness. I know it's not
weakness.
On
a logical level. Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people don't understand, and this is for, you know, all the listeners, you know, everyone goes through this, not just, you know, within the mental health community or anything like that, but everyone, there are things that you understand on a logical level, a logical cerebral level that you know that whatever it is that you are thinking is incorrect or it is wrong. Yeah. But on the heart and soul level, whether you want to believe in souls or whatever the situation may be, your mind is not getting it. It's just like there are people who are in, you know, some people are in abusive relationships and they know that they shouldn't be there. They get that they shouldn't be there, but for whatever reason they stay. There's people who are, you know, doing things that, you know, they know that they shouldn't do. Like when we were kids, you know you shouldn't be stealing the cookie out the cookie jar. You know that you're going to get in trouble for it. You know that, you know what's going to happen. Your mama told you what was going to happen. You know you're going to do it. But what did you do? Well, this time I'm not going to get caught. You done got caught the 30 other times.
Not this time.
You tried, but this time you're not going to get caught. And on a logical level, you know that you're probably going to get caught on a logical level, but on that heart level, it's just like, nah, I'm going to get this cookie and I'm going to like this cookie and I'm going to be fine. And I think that is what happens with a lot of people. And in your situation, I think that's really awesome that you're, you know, acknowledging like, yeah, I know that what I'm thinking is incorrect, but this is what it is. Do you still struggle with, I know that you're not, you said you're not dealing with your postpartum anymore, which is great, but do you still struggle with that? sometimes that idea of being, I need to be perfect, the perfect mom. You said you're a business owner, the perfect business owner, daughter, sister, absolutely. You have siblings, you know, friend, whatever.
Absolutely. I still struggle. I mean, there, even now, I've been talking to my brothers and you and everything else, and you all like, hey, maybe you should go back and talk to somebody. This is a period where you really need to talk to somebody. And yeah, I still struggle. I mean, I have a 1-year-old who's about to be 2 who thinks he can jump off couches. And when I say no, he says no back or stop, and he says stop. So it's a lot to, you know, deal with the growing a child who's growing up, and it's a lot to deal with a brand new business and learning how to do that. I'm also in school. I know, yes, I have a law degree. I'm like getting a master's in law. I'm a nerd. So I'm have all of these things that I'm doing, and being very transparent, I recently told you and my brothers, most days around that 2-3 o'clock, I feel so anxious and I feel overwhelmed. Sometimes I've had to do breathing exercise and everything else, and it's because I'm thinking about so many things at once.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to fight that. I've been trying to just throw it to the side, like, okay, no, I'm fine. And then it goes all out of control.
Okay, so I just want to put this out there, everyone. This, what she just talked about and what she's possibly going through right now, is not postpartum.
At all. That part is over.
It's not postpartum. Just to give a little bit of insight on what the clinical side of it, of what postpartum is. So basically, postpartum is the depression that precedes the birth of a child or your children, if you have multiple children. This is what happens. You know, a lot of people call it baby blues. It is, the depression is related to, is caused to a degree by this event, and the event that happened was the birth of this child. When she was talking about antepartum is basically the depression that is caused by the event that causes that depression is you being pregnant. So a lot of women who have antepartum, they have issues attaching to the child that they are pregnant with. So the child is moving around, healthy child, all these different things, but they're just like, there's like an alien inside of me. And it's not that they don't want to love this child. They don't want to love, you know, this person that they're growing, and they believe it, but you know, that's just how there's just this disconnect going on with them. And the depression tends to come from the fact that because there's this disconnect, they feel like they should be so overjoyed about it that they start to feel this, you know, this depression. A lot of times that happens with it. Same thing with postpartum. You have the event of having the child. Every single woman that I know personally that has ever had depression, postpartum depression, has said, I love my child. They love their child. Even the ones who have thought of harming the child, they're just like, I don't really want to hurt them. I just want this to not be happening to me, or I don't know how to deal with this, or there's just a lot of other factors, but they all love their child. They just don't know how to process their feelings. So that's kind of what is going on. There's this hopelessness that is going on. And sometimes in Jamila's case, it's stemming from the whole need to be perfect. So you have that portion of it. There's this need, this desire to be perfect, but it is extremely common. I think the statistic, and don't quote me on this, I think it's like, what, 3 in 5 women will have postpartum. And if they have, the likelihood of you having it increases with each child. But you know, it just depends. There's that self-awareness. And like she mentioned, if you ignore it, because this is actually what tends to happen more often than not, because moms, shout out to y'all. Y'all do amazing, amazing things.
Thank you.
The pride, a lot of times that comes along with being a mom, and that need to be strong all the time, will kill you. Not trying to be funny. This is a very serious thing. It will kill you, because you will not get the help. You will ignore it, and you know, you will dismiss it. And then there's the shame of admitting that, hey, this is what's happening to me. Right. So because you're even ashamed to admit that something is even going on, you don't address it, and it's going to get worse. Depression just doesn't go away. That's just not how it works. I know a lot of people like to think it is not something that is just going to randomly go away. If your depression goes away, it wasn't depression. You were having a bad day. Mm-hmm. You were having a bad day, and that's fine. You know, you were having a bad or really stressful week or whatever the situation may be, and you know, the stress is over. But depression, actual depression, doesn't just go away. It needs to be addressed in whatever way you feel best to address it, but it needs to be addressed, and ignoring it is actually only going to make it longer. Another thing with postpartum, once postpartum passes 2 years, it becomes depression, straight up just regular old depression. And regular old depression is still very, very, very serious. But after 2 years, you can't really call it postpartum because, you know, you had a baby 2 years ago. So, you know, that you know, like you had a baby 2 years ago. So, but on average, it tends to last about 6 months on average for most moms, I want to say. Statistically, again, don't quote me on this because I'm not looking at it, but I believe it's about 6 to 8 months is usually where it lasts. And that's if it's treated, if it's being, you know, actively. It could be significantly less. You know, the faster you catch it, the faster you recognize it, the faster you get it treated. Of course, you know, you can nip it in the bud if that's the case. But you know, if you don't and you just ignore it and you let that thing prolong, it's going to build. That's just how it works. Depression is one of those things that it builds on itself. And, you know, you heard her talking about the fact that, you know, she backtracked the diaper rash to her not being woman enough, you know, through these steps. And for us listening, that might not seem logical, but in all, it makes logical sense to the person thinking it.
I was bawling and crying.
Yeah, really it makes it makes logical sense to the person thinking it. So I think that's something that, you know, I just wanted to put that out there, you know, for, you know, all the people who don't understand, you know, what it's like to go through this. Or if you see someone going through this, to kind of recognize it and to encourage them to get help. Stop telling people to just think happy thoughts. That's not how any of this works. I promise you that. I was just like, you think they didn't think about that? You didn't think they didn't think like, you know, if I think happy thoughts, trust me, they thought that if they thought happy thoughts, they could get better. They would think it. I promise you. Nobody's just like, you know what? Today I'm going to be depressed. I want to be depressed
this
today.
This is the day.
Like, no, that's not how any of that works. And, you know, I guess for me, a little tidbit that I always say to people, whenever your friend or your loved one has a baby, make sure that after the baby is born, when you call, that the first person you ask about is them.
God bless you. I just had a friend who just had a baby. And I always ask her, how are you doing today?
And then you ask about the baby.
Because everybody forgets about you.
Yes. I was very intentional with that. And I remember when you were just like, you know, you do ask it. And I was just like, I'm very, very intentional about that. They appreciate it.
A lot of people will joke and I'm like, well, you forgot that's about me. Ain't nobody worried about you. How's the baby? And I'm like, gosh. And that happens a lot. Like, nobody will ever ask about you again. Basically, your identity is, I'm Trey's mom. That's who I am now. Mm-hmm. I'm no longer me. There were months where, I mean, if you asked me, what do I like to do? I was like, man, I like to breastfeed. I also like to watch The Prince of Egypt every day. And I also like to change diapers. I lost myself.
But I remember trying to, you know, kidnap Trey multiple times.
I'm like, no, I have it. You're like, take a break.
I was like, go, just leave him
even
here.
Now.
Yes. I'm just like, I can watch him. It's perfectly fine. Go out. And I would kidnap him and you would still call like, he's asleep. Leave him alone.
Send me a picture. What's he doing right now? Is he eating a cookie? Let me see the cookie. Can I see him as well?
Like, no.
Show me each bite.
And I would tell you no all the time. I'm like, no.
Show me each bite of cookie he has taken. No.
But it's just one of those things, you know, I always tell people, make sure that you check on the parent because mommies don't like to admit these things. And even other mommies are hard on each other, you know, because it's just like, even, you know, when you were going through it, I'm sure there might have been another friend that was going through it, but they were saying it and you weren't admitting to them like, yeah, I actually feel that way too. You probably weren't saying that to them, even though you were going through it and you're like, I wish I could tell you that we going through the same thing. But it's a very lonely, lonely feeling.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you kind of want to add with regards to how you were treated, how you got over it, or anything like that?
I mean, the Zoloft really helped, but being with family, friends, and therapy, just having a strong support system.
Yeah.
A lot of people, even though there were people who like, told me, just be happy, there were a lot of other people, well, my circle, that recognized it, and they tried to just understand. Because they didn't know how I really felt, but they mm-hmm. would try to understand. And that meant a lot, just for them to try and to try to reach out and all. So if you have a support system, definitely reach out to them. If you need to speak to your doctor, speak to your doctor. Speak to other moms.
Yeah.
I promise you, we all are thinking similar thoughts. We just don't say it. We make it. We laugh at the funny memes on Facebook and all, but there are other thoughts that are kind of dark, like, you know, I don't even know who I am anymore, or I didn't take a shower for the past 2 days, or when's the last time I washed my hair? These are real things.
Yeah.
And it sounds like a joke, but it's real. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thankful for all my friends, especially my mommy friends. My mommy friends really got me to understand, like, no, you're not crazy. This is, we're all crazy for doing this, but you're not crazy like that. We are all in this together. Mm-hmm. So don't think you're alone. You're not alone. You don't have to be the strongest person ever.
Mm-hmm.
If you need help, get help. If you need a break, say, I need a break. It's real. So I thank you. And I thank everyone around me who has helped me through this process. And even right now, still is helping me going through it, because it doesn't end. I mean, it's just not, you know, today is it. That's it. I'm happy. But there are still days that I really need to reach out or talk, or, you know, my friends pop up, you'll pop up. How are you today? Just asking about that person is so important. You have no idea. You have no idea.
I got a little bit of an idea.
You have the idea. But everyone who's listening, really, you have no idea.
All the listeners, like, you can't see, like, she is like, her eyes are rolled back. She is like, it's real.
How am I doing? Oh, wow. I guess good. Wow. This is a surprise.
That's so funny. Well, I'm going to allow you the really quick opportunity. Like I said, Jamila is an attorney. She's a wonderful attorney. She is definitely helping me, you know, with my mental unwind brand. You know, yeah. she's a transactional. Is that what it
what
is?
That, what that means is I do not like going to the courtroom. I do go when needed, but we do trademarks, mm-hmm. copyright. We do adoptions. We really love doing adoptions. Literary law, and that's one of those novel areas where we help people who are authors and writing books. And we do estate planning, because each of you
yes.
need to have a will, especially
the
if you have those babies
daddies.
Out there.
Yep.
So I have a wonderful partner. Her name is T. Moore. We are partners at Moore Legal Solutions, and we love it. We love what we do, and we love that we're able to help people and to reach out.
What's your handle, your social media handles?
Well, you can see our law firm at Moore Legal Solutions.
Moore is?
M-O-O-R-E.
Okay.
Legal Solutions. And I have my personal Instagram, which you can visit if you want to stare at pictures of Trey, because he's really, really cute. And that's Dr. Health Squire 229. Let me spell it. D-R-H-E-A. L-T-H, like health, and then Squire, like Esquire, since I'm an attorney. S-Q-U-I-R-E, and 229, because I'm from Albany. And let me, I'm going to say Albany. I'm from Albany. I don't say it right, because my mom's from Rhode Island. I have this accent. But those are my handles, and you can visit me there. If you do want to reach out, and you think you have postpartum, or if you're a mom, you just want to reach out and chit-chat and talk, I'm here. I love talking. If you I've been able to tell. That's all I do.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you. Thank you for gracing us with your presence and your knowledge and sharing your story. I am grateful for it. I'm sure there are so many women out there that are grateful, and even dads who aren't sure that this is what their, you know, their partners are going through. So thank you so much for this. I appreciate it. And thank you all for listening. I just hope to see you all soon. All right. Bye. All opinions shared on this podcast are solely that of the participants and do not reflect the views of any governing mental health professional board. The host of this podcast has received written consent to share any and all stories that have been presented.